I've worked for a long time with people who've been through trauma and in traumatic relationships, and I know how hard it is. I know how those experiences erode your self-confidence in your faith in yourself. And I also know that you have what you need within you to heal that. Mm-hmm. And I want to just offer some encouragement to keep going on that journey, because you'll get there.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Live Boldly podcast with Sarah Shulton Kranz. This is an inspiring podcast for those seeking proven ways of healing, growing, and transcending their lives. I am a legendary leader in healing, acclaimed author, keynote and TEDx speaker, a mom, an adventurer, and a believer in all things possible. My mission is to guide others to live their life boldly, regardless of circumstances. I believe we all have the power to overcome and lead joy-filled, happy lives. Recorded from the trail or in my office, every other week I share inspiring stories from everyday people, because we all deserve to be heard. You will also hear from hand-picked professionals ready to guide you beside me. Are you ready? Let's do this.
We went down into the canyon and it took us all day. It was really hot. Mm-hmm. It was summer in Arizona, and a lot of us were bonking at the bottom. When we hit the Colorado River, we were all pretty dehydrated and exhausted. We had been carrying packs, and we took shelter by the river and took a little break there. And that's when, Sarah, you locked eyes with me and you asked me the question, "So, Sandy, when did you stop loving yourself?" And I was just like, "What?" You know, like, "What are you talking about?"
Sometimes I go straight in.
Oh, man. It was like...
there was some preface to it. There was
you can buy me a drink on that one. That was horrible. I mean, that was just like, boom. I had a really hard time verbalizing that, because I couldn't access it initially, you know. And then we started... you know, I had a pretty traumatic divorce and a lot of betrayal in that divorce. And I had three babies, actually. All of my kids were under four at the time. And I wasn't allowed to leave Texas, which is where they were born. And it was a big journey to get out of Texas. So I think at that moment was when I really lost myself. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even talk about it in front of the group because I had such a hard time. So you wanted me to sort of release, and I couldn't even find my voice. I couldn't even talk. And so we journeyed into the river together. It was about 50 something degrees in the water. And you had me just really just find my words and scream out into the canyon and sort of just kind of find that person who got lost a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was a pretty powerful moment. And the crazy thing was, after that moment was when everything started transforming. It was like, And the craziest energy started happening. I kept saying, like, "This is so weird, but all these animals are following me everywhere." It was just like, after that moment, every animal in the canyon started following me. I mean, name it, it was like near me. It was, you know, the mules and bats and ravens and toads and fish and you name it. It's just like moths swarming me, nobody else but me, and the night hikes. And I just, like, it was almost like the energy just shifted from inside to outside, and then the animals started coming back and just showing me the great protection and love, and everything changed after that. And after I got out, I just couldn't understand what happened with the animals. So I looked it up, and there was like a piece that I read in a medical journal, and they were saying that when you've been around a lot of death and loss, that apparently there's an energetic shift, and the animals can sometimes pick up on it. And so they say that sometimes that can happen after you've been through a lot of loss and grief and death and stuff. And
wow.
A lot of people in the pandemic, a lot of patients and stuff. So, yeah.
And I would also just say that you grieved and left that woman at the bottom who you had not actually addressed, yeah. Right? You had not actually sat with that woman within you that had gone through so much trauma. And allowed yourself to actually, that person within you allowed her to have her voice, but then also to be held and to be loved and to be, you know, just brought out from within you.
Yeah, it was 18 years of a lot of suppressed feelings, and that needed to come out.
Do you remember what you said to me after that? Do you remember what you said to me? You said after that moment, and you said 20 something years I've been, do you remember that? You said 20 something years I've been in therapy trying to work through this, and just one day in the canyon, look at what happens. You were like, one day in the canyon. That's all, what? And then you were like, where were you all these years? And I'm like, my own shit, apparently. So, yeah, that was such a beautiful moment. It was.
Yeah, and then the crazy thing was that after all of that, the shift that really happened was that I just didn't understand that I was worthy of love, you know, of like really that unconditional love and partnership in someone who could really see me and not trying to be something for someone.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of the Live Boldly podcast with Sarah Schulting-Kranz. Today I have on Dr. Julie Schaefer. This is, holy moly, a podcast episode for anybody that would love to learn relationship rules for women who thought they knew the rules. And you may want to go back and revisit the rules, or really dive into what are some other rules that I have not been listening to. So go grab your journals and let's lean up against a tree. Let's go back into the house and open the windows and get some fresh air. Like I always say, listen to this podcast episode, learn what you can, take what you need to, and let's create better relationships within our own lives. Before I dive into Julie, I would like to remind you that we only have four Grand Canyon retreats left. I can hardly believe that I started these 6 years ago. The lives that have been transformed, changed, the babies that have been born, the jobs that have been changed, relationships that have been shifted or created, businesses that have come out of this space. Boy, it's pretty remarkable. It's magical. And as hard as it is for me to stop doing these, I also know that it's time to rise into the space of corporate work, where I will be leading retreats and also speaking engagements. And I'm super excited to get onto the stage and to share the message with the world in a different format, different platform. So we have Grand Canyon retreats coming up in July. We also have one over Thanksgiving and two in January. Do not miss out. Please do not judge yourself and say, geez, I don't know if that's for me. All you gotta do is pick up the phone or, you know, send me an email, sarah@sarahschultingkranz.com. Send me a message through Instagram, sign up for a Calendly link into my calendar, and let's just talk. What harm can that do? Absolutely nothing. So the way that I run these with people, these are deep dives into self. Everything in this world starts with self, your relationship with self. And so we have, it's a 3-month coaching program where every week I bring the group together. You also have a one-on-one coaching session with me that you can use whenever you would like to. During those 3 months, we dive into who you are, the intention of this retreat, this journey for yourself. We dive into the life that you would like to create, and also the spaces in our life where perhaps we have shadows that we need to look at. Taking things off the shelf, opening it up, and saying it's time to heal, grow, learn, self-forgive. So if this sounds like something that you would like to do, please message me and let's get you in. The way that I also do this at the Grand Canyon, it's a 5 or 6 day retreat. So we hike down into the Grand Canyon, watch the sunrise. On the way down, we spend either 2 or 3 nights down there, adventuring, hiking, meditation, Reiki healing, coaching, just really deep diving, and it's a lot of fun. We laugh a lot and we cry, and you know, we get into the water, we do a lot of water healing and also grounding with the earth. We are held by Mother Canyon herself. It is a beautiful space of enlightenment. We hike out a completely transformed human being, more connected with our heart and soul, mind, body, and spirit. So again, if this sounds like something that you are really like, huh, that sounds really pretty cool, it is, and I welcome you. Both men and women, by the way. So message me, let's get you in, sarah@sarahschultingkranz.com. July is currently filling, so we might have a couple spots left by the time that this drops, I'm not sure. We also have Thanksgiving that is filling and January of 2023, 2 different retreats in January. And then we are done. Why are we stopping these? We are stopping these not only because it is a time for me to step into corporate work and stage, and I love love sharing the message on the stage. But also, it's they're redoing the water pipeline throughout the entire Grand Canyon. And so they are stopping services at the bottom for at least a year. It's interesting having conversations with my friends at the canyon who have helped me over the last 6 years. And they're just like, wow, Sarah, we're going to miss you. And I'm going to miss them. And you know, when a door closes, a window opens, and vice versa. Just always remember that. There is always a space to rise. There is never a limit to anything. We are also currently filling a retreat in Telluride in the San Juan Mountains. Myself and she's also a writer, Florence Williams. She wrote the newest book, Heartbreak, and also she wrote Nature Fix. And so we are running a retreat together in the San Juan Mountains also in July. It is a 3-night, 4-day retreat, women only. It's all about deep diving into self, forest bathing, nature healing, energy work, coaching, meditation. It's going to be beautiful. So if that interests you, right now only have 4 spots left. Again, by the time this drops, not sure. So message me and let's get you into that as well if that is calling to your heart and soul. So let's dive into Dr. Julie Schaefer. She is a psychologist and award-winning author who focuses on helping her clients get the life they want by getting the connection with others they know is possible. She wrote Loved Relationship Rules for Women Who Thought They Knew the Rules. I freaking love that title. After 2 decades of working with clients on their relationships and going through a few struggles of her own, which she does talk about in this, she believes all problems impact relationships and problematic relationships impact progress. Could not agree more. Learning about ourselves and how to be in relationships is a lifelong process. Truth there, people. The key to success and completely doable. Yes, it is. So go grab your journals. Listen to this podcast episode. It was so much fun. We laughed nonstop. I really love the people that I meet through this forum, and this is definitely a friend for life. She is also going to be brought into my online healing program, The Trail. For those of you that don't know about this, it is an online group. We meet monthly. Every month we have a new topic that we conquer, and I bring in a guest speaker. I do a live training during one session, and then we do a group coaching session. So if this interests you for the remainder of the year and you are ready to start something new, then please message me. I love this community. It's beautiful. And then, of course, go into my website. There's a lot of new programs, downloadable programs that I just did live, they're recorded, I should say, in the mountains. There is one all about the comfort zone that was recorded on Mount Baldy. And there is another one all about happiness, 7 Steps to Happiness, recorded on the High Sierra Loop in Yosemite. Such a cool, oh my gosh, the videos on there, insane, so good. So go take a look at that as well. Let's get you into one of these programs. I love you. Thank you for being here. And as always, be a ripple for others. Share this platform, share this podcast episode, share it on your social media outlets. Tag me. I will reshare. And let's create a better world. Grab your journals. Let's listen to this incredible conversation. Please, as I always say, subscribe, rate, review, and share. My hope is that you enjoy this podcast. Hey, everyone, go grab your journals because today we have on Dr. Julie Schaefer. She is the author of Loved Relationship Rules for Women Who Thought They Knew the Rules. Can we just start right there?
Yeah.
Because, you know, first of all, right before this, I had recorded on your summit. So thank you for having me on, and I'll make sure that everybody can go and watch that. Yeah. So welcome. Thank you for being here. I truly appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. So I want to start first with a little bit of tell us who you are, tell us what got you into this work, and we're going to dive into relationship rules that we once thought we knew that we realize now that we don't because we're creating our own.
Right, totally. Yeah, we do create our own. That's the problem. Or we think we know what they are because that's what we grew up with, right? But they get us in trouble.
Really? Do you think? I see where this is going.
Yes.
Totally. I like you. Okay, so. So tell us a little bit about you. Who is Julie Schaefer?
Yeah, well, so I, you know,
I come from modest roots. I grew up on a chicken farm in rural Washington State, you know, and I'm just trying to do my thing and live my life. And I want to go to school. I mean, I really want to go to school, like get my undergrad degree. And my first husband had his undergrad degree and he didn't want to support that dream that I had. He wanted to have kids and go on and do that route. And so I was like, well, I can't do this. So I left that relationship and met somebody else who supported my let's go to school dream. And I ended up going to graduate school and we were married for 20 years, but it was a very difficult relationship. And I was very ready for the relationship to be over when he unfortunately got sick and died.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
It was hard. It was hard. So I've been through that divorce piece. I've been through the my husband died piece. I've been through a difficult relationship piece. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years after he passed away, I thought, I think I'm ready to date. But I don't want to do that again. Like that relationship that just ended.
Yeah.
Super hard. And so I thought, how could I set this up for myself so that I don't do that again? And one of the things I did was so interesting to listen to our conversation a little bit ago on forgiveness, because I went through that exact process you outlined without having your outline about self-forgiveness for why would I be in that relationship for 20 years that was so painful for me?
Yeah.
And owning the piece of it that was mine, that I chose to stay. I mean, that's flat out there. I didn't divorce him earlier.
Yep. Right? Same.
And I put up with a lot of stuff and I buried a lot of what was important to me. So I'm mulling this all over and I think, okay, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do this dating thing. And what I'm going to do two things. I'm going to, there's Maya Angelou quote I just love called when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. So I'm not going to like give people a lot of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they get a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but right.
Yes.
And then the second thing is I'm going to be honest with myself about what I'm seeing in these people and how I'm reacting. I'm going to tune into my intuition here. Okay. So I go out there and I go out there online. Like, well, I'm a homebody, you know, it's like,
I go out there. I get that.
And the second person I met is the guy that I am currently with. This is 4 years later, 5 years later. I forget. Anyway. Yeah. But, now when I go to write my book, I'm thinking, well, I've got all the stuff to say. I mean, I work with people all the time. I've got a lot to say, but how do I say it? And then I realized, oh, those rules are so important. And so then I fleshed out a few more rules. So I came up with 7 rules that I believe are super important to pay attention to, and make all the difference. And so I've practiced following them. My clients have practiced following them. And what I've noticed is kind of a wonderful byproduct of these rules is that you get a lot more self-confidence because you're tuning in to who you are in the process of these rules, of following these rules. So,
wow. Okay. Dating's not easy. I'm just going to state that right now.
Right.
Yeah. I was just telling somebody earlier who I went out for breakfast with, I said, they asked me about my 2021 and I said, you know, I'm so glad I went through that because I came out of a relationship. And I said, what it taught me was my shadow parts, showed me my shadow parts again. We all have shadow parts.
Yes.
For those people that don't know what shadow parts, let's really quickly share. What is your definition of a shadow part?
Those are the parts that we like to put in the basement and lock the door on. Unfortunately, they often don't agree with being in the basement. And so they show up at the times when you least expect them. But the parts of you that are like doing it again when you know better.
So, okay, I love your definition. This is why I wanted to ask about your definition, because I always say we all have different definitions.
Yeah.
For me, I think of my shadow part as the part that literally is like my shadow that follows me around. And sometimes I don't have, sometimes it's not there. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you turn around and you're like, oh, my shadow part's not there. Yeah. My shadow's not there. And then all of a sudden you look around and it's like, oh, my shadow's rather big today.
Right.
What happened? The sun's shining down from a different angle. And so what I like to look at is like, where are my shadow parts that are continuously with me? Yeah. And that I can then shine light on so that they're not there, so that I understand them a little bit more deeply. And so I had shadow parts and I did a lot of work on those. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy today because of it. So I look at it like 2021 was a really good cleansing, and into 2022, a good cleansing year of those shadow parts. And the other thing is that I find that with shadow parts, they also, when we look at them, they show us our patterns. Gosh, those darn patterns. darn patterns. And it was, for me, the coolest part about owning those shadow parts, because you really got to own them, name them. Like, I name my shadow parts. I'm like, oh, they're okay. So-and-so is the, is that you then get to also own the patterns that you've been living into. And you get to say, okay, I'm going to thank you, shadow part. I'm going to choose differently next time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. When you can label it, when you can see it as not when you're in it. Cause I think when you're in it, if you haven't figured out what it is
right.
and in it, it's hard to see, but if you can like reflect on it and see, oh, there's the pattern. Then when it shows up again, you can say, oh, there it is.
And you know, I think, and I want to dive into your seven steps, yes. really, like I, like that's where I want to head into, but, and the thing that I also want people to just reflect on is that this does not have to be difficult, sucky work. The fun part about people are like shadow parts. Yeah. Nope. Not only are they going into the basement, but they're getting locked up for life. Yeah. Well, here's the thing though, is that the beautiful part about this self-exploration and bringing things, to, you know, uncovering them and bringing them up for us to look at is that it can be really fun and it doesn't have to be really hard, sucky work. Like this is the fun part where you get to then create the life that you love.
Yeah.
So, and dive into the relationships that you truly want, not in the toxic, horrible, hellish, difficult ones that we unfortunately stay in because that's what we're conditioned or we've been conditioned to do. And they're and good enough, like, what's good enough? You deserve great.
Yeah.
I'll deserve great.
Right. You know, it's like going shopping, right? If it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
Yes.
Yeah.
I bought a dress on Saturday and I thought it was a hell yes. Took it home, tried it on, went, oh no.
No.
Eh. I'm like, And I went, yep, that's a no. Took it back.
Yeah.
Thought it looked good on the hanger. So I brought it home and put it on. And I was like, oh, yeah. Liked it from the chest down, not so much from the chest up. And that's when I went, it's not a hell yes. This thing's going back.
Yeah.
Right. But sometimes you got to try it on a little bit.
Yeah. Quite sometimes you have to try it on a little bit.
Yep.
Take it home, different light, see what's. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting. You can't just keep the bottom half of the dress.
Exactly.
You have to return the entire dress.
You've got to return the entire dress. This is such the metaphor for relationships.
It is. It is.
You've got to return the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't get your money back, but that's okay. Because it's not yours anymore.
Right, right. Just take it to Goodwill.
Drop it off. Okay, so okay. I'm sure my listeners right now are like, okay, this is definitely one of the more enlightening ones. Yes, it is. Let's dive into the seven steps. Get your journals, everybody. So let's talk about this.
Rule number one, tell the truth, but do it sooner rather than later. Now, this one is super difficult for people because it can be very hard to articulate to somebody else what's on your mind when it's not an agreeable, pleasant thing.
Mm.
We don't even want to tell people they have spinach in their teeth, right? Like, it's hard. It's hard to say to people, yeah, that didn't work for me.
Yeah.
And so when I work with people, I say, okay, well, at least start with telling yourself the truth. At least tell yourself that it didn't work for you.
Yeah.
Because we so often do a lot of like emotional contortionism to get situations to be okay. And yeah, we'll get into this as I get further into the
second. So I love how you just called it emotional contortionism. So true.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do. We tell ourselves all kinds of stories and we make up all kinds of things. And women are really good at this because we think a lot. We think a lot about relationships.
Yeah.
And so we do the overthinking thing and we try to read into situations and figure out. And so that's where it kind of comes in, because we sort of like add things to the story to make it work.
Right. Because we're also, a lot of us are fixers. We're doing, we're fixers. We're like, oh, well, if we fall in love with the potential, not the person today.
Absolutely. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, that's why you bought the dress, right?
Why I bought the dress. That's also why I took it back, because I learned my pattern.
Yes.
My closet's filled with things with, not anymore, but it was filled with things where I was like, well, maybe someday. And I'm like, no, get rid of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So part of what I talk about in this chapter, if you get my book, you'll see there's a whole discussion, and like half the chapter is about how to tell your truth and about effective communication and being assertive, which I have to say, a lot of people get confused with being aggressive in their conversations. So the way I like to talk about the difference between assertive and aggressive communication is to talk about your rights as a person. So you, for example, you've got quite a number of rights. I outline them in the book. You can probably find some on your own too that you have, but you, one of the most common ones is you have the right to put yourself first sometimes. Mm. Most people think it's not okay to put themselves first. That's being selfish, right? So we take these rights and we give them to everybody we're talking to, as well as ourselves. So if I have the right to put myself first sometime and everything else, all the other rights, then so do they. So does the other person I'm talking to. Now, when I go to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you out of respect for your rights and respect for my rights. And I'm going to say something like, I understand you're having a hard time with this, but this, it affects me this way, or I feel this about it. And so what I'd like from you is,
right.
And it's the best way I have found for us to help our relationship partner hear us.
Right.
Because it doesn't trigger, you did this and I can't stand it. And then they're defensive and then nobody's listening to anybody.
Right.
So that's all outlined.
Does this work very well though with people who are narcissistic humans? Do you find what'd you say? No.
It will tell you. So
exactly.
Narcissist is always in it for them.
Yes.
100%. You are never part of the equation, except to the degree to which you are helping them with whatever they want. So if you come at them with this assertive communication or, you know, any kind of communication, it's not going to work. And that is your cue that you need to
return the dress.
Exactly.
That.
Return the dress.
Stat. Yeah. I brought that up because I use that same type of communication, mm-hmm. and it's been very interesting, very telling of, you know, when I'm using it, the type, like who am I working with at that time?
Right.
Or who am I in conversation with?
Right. Exactly. And I tell my clients there are no magic words, because I think what we start to do is now I've told you how to talk. So now we try to craft our words so that the other person will agree with us.
Right.
And that's not what this is about.
That's not what this is about at all.
So there are no magic words. We're just going to get our point across. We're going to do it in a very respectful way. And if the other person isn't respecting us, it's not because we didn't use the right words. It's because they're not respecting us.
And you have to listen.
Yes.
You have to have awareness with that.
Yes.
And truly be present and understand, okay, this is how they're responding. Hopefully responding, not reacting. And that's going to tell you everything.
Yes. And then tell yourself the truth about what just happened. Because if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, they will turn it on you. Mm-hmm. If you say, I didn't like how this played out, next thing you know, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Their fault.
Right.
Right. And so if you end, if you're trying to tell your person that they did something that was upsetting to you and you end up feeling blamed, return the dress.
Return the dress.
Okay. I know that's not easy to do.
It was a really cute green dress, by the way, too. I have to say it would have looked good on somebody, but not me.
Well, and I have to say it's hard. It's hard. I mean, we're using that metaphor a little flippantly here. If you're into the relationship, you're probably pretty embedded into that relationship because they're pretty invested in having you be their relationship partner. So it gets pretty hard to get out of the relationships with them.
Right. And yet here's the thing is that I always say it's like how long there's a couple of things with this, you know, it's timing. I understand that it's being strong enough and ready to, and willing to go to that place of saying enough is enough. And where I always talk with people too, is you have this one life. Yeah. So you're either going to pull the bandaid off now, or that bandaid is going to be even more difficult to pull off later.
Right.
And it's ask anyone that was in a relationship that was difficult to get out of. And I would say, you tell me, I mean, my clients, they're like, I wish I would have done this sooner.
Oh yeah.
Myself included. I wish I would have seen things differently earlier on so that I could have said, okay, not only for me, but for him and for the kids. Like I'm not even speaking about like me. Cause we had a lot of great times. I just think that it would have allowed the great times to be better if we were separate rather than together.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
totally.
That's my thought on that. So
yes, tell the truth sooner rather than later.
Yep. Exactly. Yes. So good.
The funny thing is when you tell yourself the truth, then you have to start acting on it. Like you'll like to stay in integrity because I get it.
Yeah, no. And that is hard. That's not an easy thing to do. Staying in your integrity and walking the walk of truth is not always an easy thing to do because you will have people along the way that want to alter your truth or tell you that your truth isn't real, or you're just making that truth up, or they're denying your truth or whatever it is. The thing that I always tell people is you know your truth. And so stay in your truth.
Yes.
Stay there. Do not allow yourself.
You have an internal
true north,
right? Yeah. And if you just ask yourself a question, yes or no, whatever it is, right? Was that okay? You know, was what just happened okay with me? Yes or no? The first thing you're going to say is the truth. And then you're probably going to follow it up with, but something.
Right.
Right. And then we always go with the but.
Right.
But if you listened to that initial impulse, that initial response, that's your truth.
Yeah. So good. So good. So what's rule number two?
Rule number two is that Maya Angelou quote, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And it's a discussion of the importance of watching people's actions and not just listening to their words. Oh. Right?
Yep.
And this definitely shows up in those very difficult, toxic, narcissistic relationships because the words coming out of the mouth are different from the way that they're behaving. Mm-hmm. And that discrepancy can be pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
But we want to believe the words because the words sound so good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're in a dating situation, somebody's going to tell you, oh yeah, you know, I've been, you know, I like to climb mountains and go out and do this and that and the other thing. And they haven't been on a mountain in 10 years. Right? They don't ski. They say they like to ski, and sure, they probably do, but they don't go skiing. Right? So we want to hear that because they're really attractive or they drive a nice car or whatever it is, you know, that attracts us to them. And then we forget about the fact that they were just saying what we wanted to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, some people do study people and then give them what they want to hear.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So watch the red flags and you know, I really encourage people is when you first meet somebody, you don't necessarily know what a flag is because I had a client a number of years ago who went out on a date with somebody and it was going okay. So she decided to take the person with her to a fundraiser. And she was like hosting the fundraiser or something. And the person got really drunk. Mm. Now she knew the person was going through a really hard time. So she asking me, well, do I pay attention to the fact that he got really, really drunk? Or do I pay attention to the fact that he's really stressed out and maybe he just overdid it and this was a one-off thing? She didn't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Until the second time it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing too, is that I think a lot of people will say what they want you to hear because they actually, it's not that they don't want to be that way. I think that there's also that part of, and that's a whole nother discussion of a lot of people have parts within themselves and perhaps that part within themselves, I need to have somebody on to talk about that actually. That part within themselves that they do also relate to. It's not that they don't want to be that person that can climb the mountains and do the things. It's that they're not honest with themselves, that they're simply not stepping into their integrity or walking the truth of actually learning how to do it. And so, there's parts work is really fascinating.
It is.
Very fascinating. Oh my gosh. It is so I need to have somebody on to talk about that, actually have that discussion because it's very fascinating. I've been learning a lot more about the internal parts of ourself.
Yeah, it's a good framework.
Yeah, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now rule three,
you always want to assume the best in your partner. Mm. And this rule came out because, and I did this too, but my clients would say, my partner intended to piss me off or, right? Like they're doing it on.
Oh, I get this. Yes.
Right. And I used to do that. Like, my husband would make me mad. He would do things like I would say to him, you know, I don't like it when you do X, Y, or Z. And I've said it 100 times and he's still doing it. Like he must be doing it on purpose.
Right.
Like there's a certain rationale to this.
Right.
But they're not doing it. It's not purposefully trying to upset you. But I think what we need to do and what I talk about towards the end of the book is, how do you reconcile rule two, when someone shows you who they are, believe them, and rule three, with always assume that they're doing their best?
I was just thinking that same thing.
Yeah. So here's the deal. What we do is we take, we make excuses for people. So we give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, well, he had a traumatic childhood. So that's why he drinks too much. And once we've created the story and we can explain the behavior, then we give them a pass.
Right.
And so we're always doing this yes, but thing, yes, but mm-hmm. thing. Well, mm-hmm. we need to do a yes and thing instead. Yes.
Yes. And
they had a
that's my jam space. Yes.
and hold both truths at the same time. He had a traumatic childhood. He's drinking too much, and that's not okay for me.
And that's not okay.
And he's doing the best he can with what he's got right now at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay for me.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. So. And he has a choice to work on that or not.
Yes.
And I have a choice.
Yes.
To stay in that or not.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's, I think, that's been one of the most powerful things for me is reconciling the fact also, as somebody who, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, where, when you're in a marriage, especially for that long, it's like you're really good at making the pies to fix things. That's what I always say.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
let's fix it. Right. Let's make the environment. Okay. Let's fix it. And that's not okay. Like, that's not okay. And so you have choice as to, just like they do, they have a choice to continue the drinking. You have a choice to say that's not okay.
Right. Right. So. And yes, and you are probably going to have to deal with downstream consequences of that. But what is the everyday consequence? What are the long-term consequences?
What are the long-term consequences? Exactly. What are the long-term consequences? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's where self-forgiveness comes in.
Totally. It's
I forgive myself for making too many pies.
And a different pie for everybody.
And a different pie. Oh, girl, I can make pies. I'm a good pie maker.
Totally.
I am. Totally. Okay. So what's the next rule?
It's number four. It's know your limitations. So we're human. We have limitations. And so this chapter is really focused on the physical aspects of our bodies that we need to pay attention to that affect our ability to show up.
Right.
Are you hungry? Are you tired? Has it been a while since you exercised? Are you having a health issue? And it can be anything from a cold to a chronic illness, an autoimmune disorder that makes you physically compromised in some way. And to know what that's doing to you so that you don't try to like put on the brave face and soldier on and fix all the things while you're not taking care of yourself.
Right.
So I like to think of the hungry, angry, lonely, tired acronym, which is out of the AA work, mm-hmm. but it's so helpful because if you're any of those four, that's a good time to just nourish yourself, right? Yeah. Do what you need to fix whatever the problem is in that moment.
Within you, I think it's really one of the difficult parts for a lot of us is taking care of ourselves. We've been conditioned to take care of everybody else before ourselves.
Right.
And so just allowing yourself to take care of you first is one of the most beautiful gifts that you can give to you.
Yeah. And I think what we tend to do is we tend to think, well, if I was short with my children or I yelled at the person at the grocery store and that's not who I am. And I feel really bad about that. Right. Is to blame ourselves mm-hmm. in a characterological way. Like I must be a horrible person or I'm not a good parent. And we need to check ourselves, but I think we also need to check, well, what was going on here?
Right.
If that's not me, if I'm not normally the person who does that yelling, or I don't aspire to be that kind of a parent, I want to be the
right.
kind of a parent who's understanding, then what's going on? And maybe you haven't slept well in several nights, especially as women get older, over 40, probably closer to 50 for most people, you can have hormone shifts that can contribute greatly to this and not even fully realize it for a lot of women. So we need to pay attention to our hormones and how that's going.
I've had a lot of clients who have sat there and said to themselves, like, I wish that I would have been a better mom during that time. Mm. You know, I wish I wouldn't have been so short with my children. I wish that, you know, I feel like I lost a lot of my, especially if they were in PTSD or if they were experiencing trauma. I've had some where, you know, they were going through cancer, you know, and they had to, it was during the different times where they were getting radiation or treatment of some sort. And they were like, I couldn't be there for right. my children.
Right.
And they beat themselves up over it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done it too. And I always have to sit there and say with them, look, you were doing the best that you could at that time. You are human.
Yeah.
You are human. Right. And so perhaps there was even something subconsciously, unconsciously happening within your marriage that you energetically knew it was off and that was affecting you in some way, mm-hmm. which then caused you to be short with your children, which yeah. now you know and understand why. And so give yourself the grace and the compassion and forgive yourself for that.
Right.
Because that's not who you are today.
Right.
And you would have chosen to do things differently. And so it's also okay for you to go back to your children or whomever and say, look, if it's somebody at work and say, look, I'm sorry that this happened. I'm sorry I acted in this way. And here's why. And here's where I'm going to choose differently next time.
Yeah. And that's so important.
It's so important.
Yes. To be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. you're human. We all are.
Let's recognize that. When we're going through difficult times, or even if we've been through trauma, we get out of our bodies and totally into our heads. So sink back down into that and recognize the limitations around that, and then practice forgiveness for when we do fall short.
Sometimes we're not in either. Let's just face it. Right. Sometimes it's like, who is that? I've had that where it's you completely dissociate and you're mm-hmm. just like, I don't even know who that person just was. mm-hmm. And that's a part of, you know, the experience. And yes. And it's also part of your recovery. So
yeah.
Be good to you.
Yeah. Be good to you.
Be good to you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and that flows nicely into rule number 5, which is own your own emotions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is about taking responsibility for how you feel and really learning like what kinds of things trigger me in like, when do my shadow parts show up? Mm-hmm. Right. And what's going on there? And I like to put this together with rule 6, which is, I don't know how this came out of my brain with so many P's. The past plays a part, but the present is primary.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
The past plays a part, but the present is primary.
Yes.
Oh, that is good.
So we're gonna react, right? Like our past is there. It's part of who we are, and we're gonna have a reaction. So own your emotions around that reaction, but really reflect on, and you'll get better. If you do the reflection on what just happened enough, you'll begin to do it in the moment. You can recognize the patterns in the moment. You've identified them. But you can start to recognize when, oh, there's that thing that I do.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'll tell a little story on myself. My partner and I are I have this detached office that I work out of, and it's not very well heated or cooled. So I'm using space heaters in the winter, and I've got an window air conditioning in the summer, and I wanted something better. So we have a bid come in for one of those little mini splits, and it's a lot of money. What we think this should be, right?
Right.
And I'm going into the space of, oh, no problem. We'll just pay the money. We'll just get it done. It's just not, let's not make it a thing. And he's like, oh no, it shouldn't be that expensive. We got to do this. We've got to like pay attention to the money. And I know him, he's going to look at every, you know, well, this unit's $5 more expensive than that unit, even though the units are, you know, a few thousand dollars, right?
Right.
And I'm kind of picking on him here about this, but he does get really focused on the money. And that's, you know, my pattern is I don't want to deal with it. Let's just move on. I don't want money to be a thing. And his pattern is money's really important. And then that's a spot where the two of us can get into an argument, right?
Right.
And we've 100%. All got these with our partners, right?
100%.
Like, yeah. So you need to know like what your pattern is and what your past, how it's contributing to the present.
I'm curious where this is going to land. What's going to happen?
with the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's a nice compromise because he liked to do a little investigation. So he found,
let him do it.
Found a solution that was a third the cost. And he
wants my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, now I'm the same way. I'm just like, look, if it's something that I don't want to deal with and I don't like to do, or if it's something where it just, I'm like, hand it off. I'll just pay it and hand it off. Get it off my plate so I can go do the things that, you know. And I love the fact that you are both coming together in this and saying, well, where can we both contribute to create a whole?
Yes.
That's the beautiful part about it. It's not about you're creating the whole or he's creating the whole. It's that we're contributing to create the whole.
Yes. Yes. And
so
I had to slow down.
Yes.
I had to slow down and say,
I need to listen to what his concerns are and what he has to say and take them seriously, even though I'm ready to move on from it. And to stay in it is annoying at best.
Yeah.
Like it just, I don't want to stay in it. I want to move on.
Yeah. So I'm right there with
take
you.
A deep breath, kind of go against that. And I think it's going to work out beautifully.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
At least this time. You know, this is a practice.
It is. And that's what I also want people to get from this is the fact that, you know, I had somebody recently say to me, I love the fact that you're so honest with everything because you still practice all of this too. I said, I'm a human being, people. Like, Oprah is a human being. Like, you know, everybody, like they're all humans. Everybody is doing the best that they can and they're learning and we're all at different stages. That's all it is. And if we're blazing trails for others, that's amazing. And remember that we're still blazing trails. Like we're still learning. Everybody does. The day that I take my last breath will be the day that I'm, you know, like, okay, I've experienced it. I have learned what I've needed to learn. And now I can go understanding and realizing that I've left the legacy that I choose. And so, you know, that's a good thing. So what is this last step then?
So I had to figure out what do I say if you don't know which rule works. So the last rule, which I felt circled back around very nicely to the tell the truth rule, is always be kind.
Oh, where is my kindness matters hat?
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, maybe that's all you know how to do. However, and I've my own little beef with always be kind is being kind is not the same thing as being nice.
Right.
So a lot of times we think, well, that wouldn't be nice. We're saying, well, that wouldn't be kind. And there's times when being kind doesn't make other people feel great. Right. So, yes, be nice. Be nice to people. We all need a lot more people being nice and not being so rough. So that's not what I'm referring to here. But I think we get ourselves into situations sometimes where we are so fixated on being nice that we don't allow other people to experience the consequences of their decisions. Think of like one of the women I was talking to as I was writing the book has an adult son who is an alcoholic and won't leave the house.
Mm.
But she can't kick him out because she's the mom and she wants to help. And, you know, and yes, that's being kind. You want to be kind, but is it really kind for somebody to not, you know, kick your adult son out and have him deal with the consequences of his addiction? And he has a choice on what to do with his life. So that was kind of a harsh one, but I think, sometimes we need to tell people, hey, you know, the way you're behaving isn't working for me. And maybe that's being kind to them.
So I'm going to read something to you.
Okay.
From my book that I actually, or it's not my book. It's everybody else's book. Now I just wrote it. So there are two things that came to me when I was stand up paddleboarding one day on the Pacific Ocean, and I'll never forget it. I was just like, whoa, where did that come from? And one thing was, this is two really important realizations. One thing was, one person cannot repair what it takes two people to work on. So quit trying.
Yeah.
It takes two. Yeah. You cannot repair what it takes two people to repair.
Right.
One person cannot do it alone.
Right.
And then the second thing was, by constantly fixing others' mistakes, you are sabotaging their life lessons and responsibility for their actions while dismissing your own life in the process.
Absolutely.
And I remember having that and I was like, ouch.
Yes.
Okay. That one hit.
Yeah.
And you know, there are things that those are like the moments. See, that's what happens when I'm in nature. I have these like reflection moments where I go, oh, where did that come from? Well, it's already in you. It's coming through you. it's the clarity that's finally coming forth. And so I remember writing those in my phone and saying, oh, I got to do something with that someday. And that's what I put in the book. And so that's exactly what you're talking about too. Yeah. You have to have other people be held accountable for their actions as well.
Right. Right. Instead of you always filling in the gap and allowing them not to experience that accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You want them to experience their lessons and to have their own learning and their own.
Right.
It's their decision or choice to step into it. And it's not yours to fix it or to force it.
Right. You're not being kind.
You're not being kind.
If we keep them from experiencing that.
Right.
So
I love these. This is so good. This is so good. So those are the seven rules. And so tell me, like, there's so much I could like dive into this with you on. Tell me how these have altered your life. Like, how have they changed your daily way of existence or how you've lived within your life?
Yeah. So I didn't stay in that 20-year marriage for nothing. I was a doormat. I took a lot of stuff from him that I shouldn't have. And following these rules have helped me reconcile that time in my life when I was a wallflower, I was a doormat, I wouldn't speak up for myself. It helped me reconcile that part of who I was with the part that really needed to get out there and live my life. I couldn't sacrifice it for this relationship any longer. I was actually in the process of ending the relationship when he got sick.
Right.
So it would have been over one way or another at that point. Right. And so I follow the rules. You have to get in touch with yourself to do this work.
Yeah.
It's work. And you will find a well of confidence and integrity that you possibly weren't living in before. Like sometimes we go through trauma, but sometimes we put ourselves through it. Like that's right. What I did. I put myself through it.
Right.
And we get to a place where we have more confidence, more integrity, and we are more free at that point to just be who we are.
Yeah. So good. It's so, so good. So good. I appreciate you being here so much. And it's been such a joy. Is there any last words that you want to leave with everybody?
Oh, good.
You were having this like weird, like this background noise.
Yeah. So I have this yard crew and they normally show up at later in the afternoon and they decided to come now.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they didn't tell me.
That's okay. No worries at all.
Yeah, so I apologize, everybody, for all of those strange.
You know what this is? Real life.
Right?
I've been on so many podcasts where like all of a sudden the garbage truck goes by and I'm like, what the heck? Come on, you guys. You're not supposed to be doing this now.
Right.
But what, you know, it is what it is. Like that's the flow of life. So it's all good. It's all good. So I want you to leave some last words of wisdom with these beautiful listeners of ours and then also where they can find you.
Yeah. So I've worked for a long time with people who've been through trauma and in traumatic relationships. And I know how hard it is. I know how those experiences erode your self-confidence in your faith in yourself. And I also know that you have what you need within you to heal that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just offer some encouragement to keep going on that journey because you'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Where can everyone find you? Where can they find your book?
Yeah. So the book's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, get it at your local bookstore. my website is drjulieschafer.com. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Julie Schafer and Facebook at Julie Schafer PhD.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. I am so honored and for you to have gifted your time to us. And I look forward to what lies ahead in your life, my life, our lives, all of it as we continue to ripple this into the world.
Yeah.
So thank
you. It's
been
a pleasure. It's been
so
much.
Thank you. And if everyone could go and share this episode, go rate, review on all of the podcast platforms, I would really appreciate it because that's how we get the word out. Keep being the amazing humans that you are.
My friends, thank you for listening to the Live Boldly podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so grateful to have you here. I'd love to invite you over to sarahschultingcranz.com to receive 5 free meditations recorded by me or download your free guide on how nature is your perfect healing therapy. My site has many free resources to guide you on your life journey, many that I used myself while on my road from victim to survivor. And also, please, I ask that you share my podcast with those who may need inspiration, information, or who may need to hear from others going through where they are right now. To grow this podcast, please leave an iTunes review and subscribe. Go find it on other platforms such as Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please also go to my Instagram or Facebook page, leave a message in my comments, and tell me what you think of this episode. Please share in your stories and tag me. I'd love to reshare and celebrate your healing journey. I love hearing from each one of you. Let's keep the ripple going. It begins with each one of us. I love you. And as I always say, I believe in you, us, always.